And just a reminder, in case you're wondering what a lament is spiritual permission to process the pain of life, all while searching for God's grace and understanding. So why have we been navigating this series the last few weeks? Well, this really is a big part of spiritual formation or discipleship. We are never going to escape pain. We are never going to escape heartache. Disappointment in this life will continue to go on in this lifetime, but we can be better equipped to process it with the Lord and in our lives. We've looked over these last few weeks at individual lament. Last week, Randall taught us about the imprecatory Psalms, this imprecatory style of lament. And today, we're going to finish up by looking at corporate or communal lament. And you may say, well, what is corporate lament? Well, Mark Vrogop, who we've referenced several times in this series, says it this way. A corporate or communal lament is a group or nation vocalizing pain, grief, fear, or some other strong emotion. And we probably have a few things, don't we, that we could communally or corporately lament over. I can think of a few just right off the top of my head. The racial injustice that's happening in our nation, a political idolatry, and the constant sowing of division that has gripped the hearts of so many followers of Jesus these last few years. You know, we live in a world that constantly seems to devalue the Imago Dei, the reality that we are all made in the image of God. And Paul says that, you know, we so often bite and devour each other. And it is right, although it is painful, to look in the mirror, face reality, and lament over what we see. So the text for today comes from Psalm 12. You may remember a few weeks ago we were in Psalm 13. Today we're going to back up one and we're going to go to Psalm 12. And here the psalmist David is lamenting over the state at what he sees around him. He is lamenting over the lack of faithfulness that he sees in God. He's lamenting over the fact that these words that are being spoken over the people and the self-reliance that he sees with a disregard for dependence on the Lord. Sound familiar? I'm going to read it to you, and I would invite you, even if you're watching at home, now if you're driving your car and listening to this maybe on the way to the beach, please don't do this, but I'm going to invite you, if you're at home or in a safe spot, maybe you could stand for the reading of God's word as I read this morning. Psalm 12, verses 1 through 8. Help, Lord, for no faithful one remains. Just listen to the pain in his voice as he's writing this. The loyal have disappeared from the human race. They lie to each other. They speak with flattering lips and deceptive hearts. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks boastfully. They say, through our tongues we have power. Our lips are our own. Who can be our master? Because of the devastation of the needy and the groaning of the poor, I will now rise up, says the Lord. I will provide safety for the one who longs for it. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. You, Lord, will guard us. You will protect us from this generation forever. The wicked prowl all around, and what is worthless is exalted by the human race. This is the word of the Lord, painfully, but thanks be to God. Now, there is so much pain in this text, is there not? David is lamenting the fact that he looks out and it just feels like the faithful have completely disappeared. No one remains, is what he says, which in turn, whether it is real or it is just something that he feels, has left him with this sense of he's being all alone. He talks about this idea that the words are many. David is dealing, as he looks out over this community, he's dealing with flattering lips and deceptive hearts. These are the words of gossip and deception in this community. And these words, in turn, are destructive. The danger of these words is that they can often tell us the things we would rather hear or desire to hear rather than what we actually need to hear. And that, in and of itself, becomes destructive in our lives. The writer of Proverbs reminds us just how powerful words actually can be. He says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 18:21. And the third kind of big idea here that David is lamenting is this idea of self-reliance. He says this, "Through our tongues we have power. Our lips are our own. Who can be our master?" They think, this group of people that David is lamenting over, thinks that their power comes from their words. And they are self-reliant in, and they are self-reliant on their power, instead of relying on the power that can only come from God. They believe they have the power to control their own destiny. And David is lamenting this moment. There is no one faithful. The words are flattering. They're deceiving hearts, and they are self-reliant. Now, I bet you can think of a few instances where you might see this in our world, and you might feel the weight to lament this lack of faithfulness, these flattering, deceptive words, or an over-realized amount of self-reliance in our lives. But here's the warning, and here's the temptation, and this is what lament confronts in our lives. You see, the temptation in all of these biblical stories is to insert ourselves as David, to insert ourselves as the one who is doing the lamenting. That we are the ones that have it all figured out, that we are the ones that see the problems in our world and community, and we are the ones that find ourselves in a posture of lamenting. But what if David is lamenting for us? This was confronted for me this week as I was reading through this and wrestling through this text. It was like it held up a mirror for me in my life. What if David is actually lamenting over me? And I'm not the one in this text that's actually doing the lamenting. What if he is lamenting over our use of deceptive words, or lamenting over our self-reliance instead of our dependence and depending on the Spirit for our power and our guidance? We might have the right perspective of David in this text, but David might also have us in his sights that he is lamenting over. And even still, there is hope. Because lament brings us towards hope and peace and rest in God. Listen to what he says here in verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times. You, Lord, will guard us. You will protect us from this generation forever." The psalmist is comparing the one whom he's lamenting over to the Lord. And he says it here. He said, "The words of the Lord are pure. They are refined, unlike the words of the unfaithful." He said, the psalmist points here to who will really ultimately protect and cover us. He says, "You, Lord, will guard us. You will protect us." It isn't the one who is unfaithful, nor the one that lies to one another, nor speaks with flattering lips that results in deceptive hearts. You see, lament brings us to a place where we are reminded of the goodness of God again in our lives. Sometimes we have to pray a communal prayer of lament for others. Sometimes we have to pray it for ourselves. And that, in and of itself, as painful as it may be, is still a picture of God's grace in our lives. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had this to say. He said, "Even if a verse or a psalm is not my own prayer, it is nevertheless the prayer of another member of the community." This is why we so often stop and pray in our services when we gather together for others in other places and in other communities. You know, just recently we spent a significant amount of time praying for the situation that continues to unfold in Ukraine. We've recently been praying for the situation, the shooting in Uvalde and Buffalo. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of praying over these. I'm tired of lamenting over these and seeing these tragedies unfold in our community. You know, in 2020, we spent a significant amount of time praying for the medical community and lamenting the hard work and the hard effort that they were having to put into fighting this horrible pandemic. And we have spent so much time over the last few years lamenting for the minority community as they have wrestled with ongoing racial tensions and ongoing injustice they fight and face in the world. You see, it may not be our prayer, but it is the prayer for another community or for another individual. And we could lament every week in our service, couldn't we? I mean, we could constantly be finding something to lament over. So today I want to ask you this question. In this short, brief message, I want to ask you this question. What do we collectively need to lament over? What does our community need to collectively lament over as we look out into our community? What is in our nation that we need to lament over? And what about our church? What is it that we need to lament over in our church? What I want to encourage you to do today is to go to gracehill901.com/lament. And on that page, you're going to see a downloadable PDF. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you to download that PDF and actually write out your lament. Maybe it is a personal lament that you need to express. Maybe it is an imprecatory psalm that you need to write out in that. Maybe it is a communal lament. But let that be a moment that leads you. It's a spiritual process that leads us through our pain and leads us through our what feels like hopelessness back to hope and grace in God. I want to close our time by reading a prayer that I often read. It's a confession of sin, but in many ways it is a lament. And this comes from the Book of Common Prayer. It's one of the morning prayers to pray, and it's the morning confession of sin. And this is how it reads. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have allowed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, you have mercy on us, miserable offenders. Spare them, O God, those who confess their faults. Restore to them that are penitent, according to your promises declared into mankind, Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Grace Hill Podcast. We really hope you found this message compelling and inviting. If you'd like to connect with someone to find out more about Grace Hill Church, or maybe discuss this episode or something else about life or faith, please don't hesitate to reach out to us directly at gracehill901.com. We'd really love to connect and discuss anything with you. And please remember, you matter.